Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maho, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Zama.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
No, doing well, man. Just enjoying the heat. Otherwise, we're quite good, eh?
No, that's good. We thank the Lord.
Lovely. Now, we're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper within the next couple of days. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist Christians take part in the Lord's Supper or communion service as a commemoration of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. It's a time to reflect, as it were, upon what Christ did for his people, for all of Christendom and his people in general, to respectfully express this gratitude as a church family. Now, what is the Lord's Supper, Pastor? What is its significance in our faith?
Okay, maybe let me begin by saying the Lord's Supper is an ordinance that Christ gave to the believers in himself and God as a way of commemorating the great deliverance that was wrought out as a result of the great sacrifice he made on Calvary. So this is also a transition that happened from the Passover. Remember, the Passover was also a way of commemorating the deliverance of the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. So when Christ now came and he changed the ordinance, this was now to commemorate our deliverance from sin through the death of Christ on Calvary.
Mm. So he changed the ordinance of the Passover?
Yes.
Mm. Now, what was the significance of the Last Supper that he shared with his disciples?
Well, for me, I would say there are two main points that I can give there. The first one is the transition. Remember, prior to that ordinance that he had with his disciples, they were commemorating, you know, the Passover, as I've said before. And now the Passover was only focused on the Jewish community, the Jewish society, not the whole world. But Christ now was bringing in something that was not going to be focused on one group of people, that was the Jews, but that was supposed to be about every human being under the sun. So that was the reason why Christ, remember, everything that he did, he always gave he was always exemplary. He led by example. So he had to do it with his disciples to show us what we need to do after he had left. Because had he not done it, we would have seen a lot of things that would have happened. People maybe continuing in the old, you know, ordinance, or people forming a new kind of a thing that we have never heard of. So Christ had to do it so that those who are going to come after him would know what they need to do and keep it in mind that they are now Christians.
Interesting. Now, why is it an important service that we should participate in, all of us?
Well, look, when you talk about the Holy Communion, you are expressing your faith in Christ. That is the first point. I believe that when you are partaking on this Holy Communion, you are actually sending a statement, maybe to yourself, to people around you, including to the world, or even the devil himself, that I am Christ, which means that when I am partaking on this ordinance, I am accepting the sacrifice that Christ made for me. He died on the cross so that I can have life. So I'm now accepting that sacrifice. So it's very important for anyone who claims to be a Christian to partake in it, because number one, you are accepting that Christ died on the cross for you to save you, and you are saved by his grace. And also number two, you are willing to obey. Christ gave the command. And everyone who is a Christian must also follow what Christ said we need to do.
Yeah. Now, is it possible? Because, you know, many of us would have the Holy Communion, you know, once a quarter at church, and then the next quarter we have another one, etc. So for about four times a year, we would have that. But can I have the Lord's Supper at my house with my wife and children, or does it have to be at a church led by a person like yourself, a pastor?
Okay, maybe to answer this one, we need to look at these two words, principle versus policy.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to principle, there is nothing wrong if, as a family, you decide to conduct a Holy Communion service, because remember, Christ, as long as we are Christians, when Christ gave this command to the disciples, we don't find anywhere where Christ said it is supposed to be conducted by the church or supposed to be conducted by the pastor or the elders. That is as a matter of principle, because remember, it's all about what does it signify. And when you are partaking on it, what is it that is at the back of your mind?
Yeah.
You are accepting the sacrifice of Christ. And remember also his statement, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do it oftenly. He never gave us, you know, the timeline to say, do it once a quarter or twice a quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
He just said, do it oftenly. But now when it comes to a matter of policy, now the reason why the church came with the idea of it being conducted by the leaders of the church, maybe the ordained elders and the pastors, as well as doing it per quarter, it was because they were also trying to run away from people ending up, you know, delegitimizing the Holy Communion or making it lose its significance. Because if some people were to partake on it, you know, without understanding what it means and just do it, you know, haphazardly or carelessly, it end up losing its significance. That's the reason why the church had to come with a way of solemnizing it, so that when it is conducted by the leaders of the church, and it also is a timeline where it is done together as a board of believers, its solemnity will continue. But believe you me, if we as a family, or you as your family, you decide you want to partake it and you understand what it means and you do it in a solemn way, there is no sin in that. There is no sin in that, because this thing is about a Christian and God, a Christian and Christ. No other people involved, you must stand between you and Christ.
Please explain, you're saying in a solemn way, and you keep on emphasizing that as long as it's going to be in a solemn way. What does that mean?
When I talk about, you know, partaking in a solemn way, remember Christ himself, when this Holy Communion, you know, was introduced, what was happening there at the table and all the things that were transpiring in that place, it was a holy service. The idea of it being a holy service, you know, it put it apart from any kind of a meal that you can have. You can have a breakfast, you can have your lunch, you can have your supper, but this one is not just an ordinary meal that you are partaking on, you know, to fill your tummy. This one is a symbol, a symbolic act, trying to portray something, trying to send us a message, trying to represent something. Like when you are partaking on the Holy Communion, remember, number one, the items that you are eating there might be ordinary in the human eye, but they've got a different meaning or a deeper meaning. That bread, which is unleavened bread, and that grapevine, which is wine, when you are partaking on those things, remember, they have been prayed for, and they are standing as symbols, the bread representing the body of Christ and the wine, his blood. So when you are partaking on it, it's a solemn service. That's why you don't eat, you know, to fill your tummy. It might be a small portion, but you are eating it by faith. It is by faith. You are saying, Lord, as I am partaking on this, I am accepting that thing that you did 2,000 years ago when you hung on the cross, when your body was bruised for my transgression. So that is solemnity of it is very crucial, because if you just partake it, you know, I can go to any ShopRite or any, you know, a Checkers and buy grape juice and just drink it, you know, different from the Holy Communion. In the Holy Communion, in as much as it is the same juice, but because this juice has been prayed for, it is a symbol of something, then there is solemnity in it.
I see. No, it's fine, because, you know, if I were to be doing that service at home, I'm just trying to have an imagination here. You know, at the church setting, when they give you those small little portions there, just one gulp and it's finished. And, you know, when it comes, you cover it with your hand and all of those things. Probably those things, I would not have them at home. Would have glasses that will fill up with anyone's, and we'll sit on our couches and we'd really remember the sacrifice that God has done, and what everybody in a relaxed mood with our supper on the table, etc., etc. That would still be solemn, right?
Yeah, that would be solemn. Look, Zama. The idea is, remember, maybe we are blessed on this side of the world, because we have got churches, you know, we are communities, we live in communities, and we have got churches, you know, that can do this service together. But there are situations like, I've encountered some situations of people, you know, who live like in the countryside, who live far away from churches, and they can't go to churches. Like, they don't have churches. They worship like as families at home. And those people, they also need to partake on this, because Christ never said this must be done when you are in a church gathering. He just said, do what as a Christian and what in remembrance of me. So I think as long as the people that are conducting it understand this ordinance and do it accordingly, there is nothing that is wrong with doing it. There is nothing. I know, that's why I said as a matter of principle, there is nothing wrong. But when it comes to policy, I know that there might be some, you know, gray areas here and there. But as a matter of principle, as long as you understand it in your heart and you are doing it in a solemn way, I don't think there is anything wrong with that.
Right. Lovely. Thank you for that. Now, let's come to the church setting. Is it open for everyone who's willing to get in? Can those who are not members of the church partake?
Yeah, the Holy Communion service is one ordinance, or that is one service in the church that I believe it combines all believers in Christ, regardless of their denomination. This one, you know, it breaks all denominational barriers. Why? Because we are saying, number one, as long as one is a believer, look, the ideal principle in partaking it is, am I a believer in Christ? Do I believe in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ? And do I believe that all that was happening on Calvary happened because Christ was buying my salvation? You might not be an Adventist, you might be a Christian in another denomination, but as long as you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, you have every right to partake. That's why you find that when we are conducting the Holy Communion, we will tell the church that even if you are not an Adventist, you are allowed to partake on the ordinance as long as you believe in Christ.
Does this include children? Because normally I see that children are not part of the communion service, which means that they're excluded.
Now, when it comes to children, I know that there is still some controversies here and there. But if we were to look at, like, remember, I spoke about principle versus policy. Mm-hmm. If we were to look at our policy, according to our current policy of the church, children, like children who are not yet baptized, they are not allowed to partake on it. Maybe the church believes that when someone has not yet been baptized, they have not yet made a decision, maybe to follow Christ. Because you have not yet made a decision to follow Christ, then there is no need or room for you to partake on the Holy Communion until the time when you start understanding what it means and its significance. This is where it is. But there is also some talks right now, as we are speaking right now, you know, in the General Conference, they are continuing to have some talks, because there is also another side which is saying, look, some children, they are raised by Christian parents, they are not yet maybe at an age to be baptized, but they grow up knowing Jesus as adventurers, and they love Jesus. Why can't they also be allowed what to partake on this one? So I believe this thing is still is a room which is open to say, we might not know what the future holds, but currently, as a church, it's only people that are baptized who have made a conscious decision to say, I'm following Jesus, that are allowed to partake.
Yeah, I think I understand that, because it's an organization. I must tell you that I've done this, communion service at my house with wife and children, and I've had my children participating. In fact, they loved it. They are now the people who would continuously remind me, Daddy, when are we going to have that service again? Because they understand, you know, I think they've partaken a number of times now, and I think it's perfectly okay. Would you encourage that people do that at their homes?
No, if you were to ask me as an individual, not as someone, you know, who maybe rides behind the police, if you were to ask me as a personal individual, I think there is nothing wrong with children partaking. Because look, for me, when I look at the Holy Communion, I always equate it to the Passover.
Yeah.
When you look at the Passover, it was partaken by everyone, both children and the old people. Because the kids were also supposed to know that they are saved. That salvation that came when they were delivered from Israel, it did not only save the parents, it also saved the children. So the children will grow up knowing that this ordinance is very important.
Yes,
so if you were to ask me as an individual, I believe that children, they also must partake on the Holy Communion. I don't see anything wrong, because look, we have children that also are part of Sabbath school. They go to church.
Yes,
buy them all these things. They go to classes. They do their curriculums. So they love Jesus. And you can see that maybe they've not yet understood a lot of things about Jesus, but the basic thing, they know them. So because they love Jesus, why not also allow them to partake? Let them experience, you know, the joy, the experience of partaking on this. So I don't have a problem with it. I know that according to the policy, they might not have agreed. But for me as an individual, I believe what you're doing is fine. And I accept.
Yeah, I think particularly because it is Christ himself who said, let the children come to me because the kingdom of God is, you know what I'm saying? So I think from that premise, I do believe that they should grow up knowing that Christ loves them and he has sacrificed for them. And if you can involve them in your home, in your space, in your house, but do as best as you can. And I do, I'm quite encouraged that you are saying that in as far as that is concerned, you probably also would be, doing the very same thing as well.
Yes. Well, I agree with you 100%.
100%. Pastor, thank you so much, man, for your time. It's been a great one. I will connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Okay, thank you so much, Zama. Have a lovely evening.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.